welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right. I've got something a bit different for you this morning with the word. For a start, I've got notes. Now, you should panic at this because I've got three sides of typed A4, but don't worry, it's not as bad as that. And you know me, I don't preach for notes, so... I don't know if I am going to preach very much to you this morning, but I am going to read lots of the word to you. Because God has been speaking to me very clearly about where we're going and how we're moving ahead. And you know, in the previous weeks, we've been talking really about opening up our homes. This whole concept of open house is one that God wants us to think about and develop more and more. You see, I don't see the way ahead. I'm not saying that it's been like this, but life groups could be like this, okay? Where a life group, which is like a meeting in the middle, is just seen as like a little meeting in the middle of the week. And what God has done, you remember when he told us we started, the real start date wasn't the Sunday morning. We launched the church on the Sunday. The church began on the Monday. Do you remember that? Because God is about us being church 24/7. And in the years ahead, and you're not going to hear it just here at Kingdom Faith, I think you'll hear this message at the big meetings at the NRC. You'll hear it everywhere. Because it's what God's saying to his church at the moment. That Sunday mornings, in one sense, the importance of it is diminishing. Or maybe it's not the Sunday mornings are diminishing in importance, but certainly the rest of the week is increasing. Because where we're going to see the miracles happen, where we're going to see the people saved, a lot of the time is going to be in homes. Or in coffee bars. Or in the pub. Or even in the nightclub. And it's time for the church to get out. You know? We don't need persecution to force us to do this, but that's what would happen eventually. It's true. I don't think that's necessary. But God wants us to have this concept of opening up our lives. Now, with the whole open house thing, the danger is, even with that, you could think, well, does that mean there's one night a week where there is an open house, you know, so that it becomes back to a meeting. But what God wants to do is to expand our minds so that we don't think in terms of meetings anymore. Now, that's a big thing for Kingdom Faith, because Kingdom Faith has traditionally been a very meeting-orientated time, but that season is over. Okay, there may well be meetings. You know, God's not telling us to stop Sunday morning. Sunday morning is a gathering together, hearing the Word of God together. Although, remember, what I keep saying, the most important thing is you're hearing from here what God is already saying to you. Because the only way this church will grow is if the people of God are feeding themselves. Otherwise, we're all babies. Only babies need to be spoon-fed. And even babies need it more than once a week. So if you're trying to survive on once a week, you're never going to be that strong. That the Lord wants us to develop our relationship with him one-to-one, hear from him one-to-one, know the word from him one-to-one. And then when we gather together in homes and things like that, it's not a question of having a meeting, but of the people gathering together and there's an open house and people are coming whether they know God or not. And then in those meetings, we can start to see some of the things. Let's just have a quick look. I wasn't going to start here, but I just feel I will. If we go to 1 Corinthians 14. And Paul is trying to get the Corinthians sorted out a bit. They're all very enthusiastic and very keen. And there's a few sort of messy situations occurring, and he's trying to sort it out a bit. So he gives them these instructions in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. What shall we say then, brothers? When you come together, all right, so when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everyone. Everyone. Not just someone playing keyboard, or someone playing guitar, or the pastor, everyone. Now, in the context of a Sunday morning, that would get very chaotic. You know, if everybody suddenly wanted to preach, we could be here a long time. And I don't think that's what God's saying to us. But when we gather together in our homes, everyone has something, because everyone is hearing from the Lord. And that sense actually is carried through to Sunday morning, because as I've said, you will have a word from God or a song from God. You might not get that chance on a Sunday morning to say, let's all sing, because we're not going into bingo worship, but or lottery worship, or karaoke worship, or any such version of. But there'll be that sense of, yeah, that was the word God had put on my heart. Yeah, that was the song I was expecting us to sing next, because we're flowing with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And this is truly going to lead us into really exciting times, because when we're all hearing from God like that, that's when stuff just happens. Yes. Amen? Yes. Eileen, I'm so pleased you're here. You're the joyful one, you're the excited one, and you agree with me. Anyway, let's have a look a bit more. When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. And then it says, all of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. So how do you, if you're having an open house meeting, how do you know what you've got is right? Well, it's going to be coming for the strengthening of the church. If you look in other passages, when the body are bringing words into that kind of context, they're always for strengthening or encouraging or for building up. It's not the time to get out your favourite prophecy on the Jews. And it's not the time to get out your favourite word of, you know, God's going to smash this church unless we do this now. Because God's not going to do that in that context. He'll do that kind of thing with the leadership. And things will be going very, very astray by the time none of the leadership are listening to God. Okay? To miss it completely. God doesn't tell the tail how to move the dog. All right? Anyway, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three at the most, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. This isn't talking about just worshipping the Lord, singing in tongues. This is talking about when someone comes out with a word from God. You don't just have another word from God, and 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 you miss completely what God was saying. Because when you have a tongue like that, nobody can actually understand you. But if God is bringing something, you don't want to miss what he's bringing. And you can be certain that somebody there, maybe the person who's brought it, will know what God is saying. But you don't just go on and on and on. That's why Paul says no more than two or three at the time, because you don't want to forget what the first one was. Okay, you're waiting for the interpretation. It's not that Paul's putting a rigid order on, but he's just making sure there's not complete chaos. Because what was happening in the church in Corinth was, you know, people were popping up and saying this and popping up and saying this. They weren't just doing it in tongues, they were getting prophetic words, but nobody was actually paying attention to what God was saying. But this will be the style when we gather in our homes. Now, of course, you're going to have coffee and tea and meals and go bowling and have fun together as well. But when we come together in this kind of a sense, it's a time to say, this is what God's saying to me. Different people will have, you know, a short thing even to share. You don't need somebody to stand up in those kind of meetings and teach you. Those kind of days are over, except perhaps when we all gather like this. But you don't need that in a small group meeting. You don't need another person standing up and sharing. It's everybody in the room sharing. Everybody has something. And then in that room, somebody might say, you know, I really think God wants us to sing this. You can do that. In that context, it's easier, you know, in the smaller amounts of people. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. In other words, don't go pressurizing everybody. Well, we need that interpretation. We haven't had that interpretation yet. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But you don't disrupt the whole meeting looking for it. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Notice it just says, the others. It doesn't say the leader of the group there. It just says, the others. Because this is what God is saying to us. This is what has been discovered in the past, but never really entered into, that all believers are priests. It's the priesthood of all believers. We say that, we expect it, we believe it, and then in a church like ours, we stick some bloke up in the stripy shirt at the front, and he becomes the priest, because he does all the preaching and all the teaching, and God's saying, I don't want that. This should be confirming what God is saying. Okay? God will bring a little bit more, or highlight a little bit more, or maybe there's been confusion through this. By and large, how God wants to speak through the church is you lot. Amen. And now those groups might be coming. But you see, those groups won't be just groups. They'll be like church. In those groups, that's the best place to have communion. When you're with one another. In your homes, having a meal. Have communion together. Otherwise, we're back to making it a church, a sort of a religious organisation again, where we have communion on Sunday mornings and the pastor or senior elder in the church leads the communion. What's that? We're making priests again. As a separate thing. I mean, not priests as in all of us being priests. This isn't where I was going at all. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. I like that. In other words, different people in the room are going to have something to say. Not just one person giving a sermon. Is it right to have sermons? Well, yes, because if you look in other places, Paul preached for so long, what was his name? Eutychus fell out the window and killed himself and had to be resurrected. You know, hopefully that's not going to happen too often on a Sunday morning. The long sermons or the death. Don't really want either. So there is a place for the leader to bring a word, or leaders to bring the word, but God wants to expand us completely in this small group. So if your group's meeting, say Peter is finding that people are gathering at his house. You see, because we get too official, don't we? We think, right, well, we'll appoint Nigel and Elka as life group leaders, and you have to go there, and you have to go there, and you have to go there, and that's their group. Well, we're not going to do it. Okay? If you want people to gather at your house, gather them. And it will become a church if you listen to the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the church is, the group believers gathering together. Amen? Now the church, as a church, what we'll do is we'll recognise people who are obviously called to leadership. And some groups, you'll sort of say, yep, that's definitely, they are recognised. But that's about it. We might pray for them. And people, and then when people want to go to, come new to the church, they say, well, where can I go? We'll have some kind of idea of where people are gathering at homes. But what we've got to be careful is that night gathering doesn't then become what open house is. Open house means our homes open and sharing with one another. Yeah. You know, in one another's homes, in the mornings, in the afternoons, in the evenings, whatever. Okay? Not all the time. Because it's about being a community. And we're quite a scattered community, but we're not all scattered. You know, Jimmy and Jennifer have been having open house. Well, they did before they went off on holiday. They've been having open house in their house on a Monday night. And Jimmy was very nervous about it. And the first night he had one, he rang me up and he was really excited. Well, I think I rang you up because I'd forgotten to go. That was of God, you know. I'm not just saying that as an excuse. Because Jimmy asked me to go along. And I said, no, I don't think that's right, Jimmy. I don't think I should, because it's back to the pastor leading a group type thing. But Jimmy was really insistent. And so I said, okay, I'll come. And do you know, I just completely forgot. About 9:30 came around, and I suddenly said to Kate, it's Monday night. I'm supposed to be at Jimmy and Jennifer's. But they'd had a good night. But all they've done is a little bit of what I'm describing to you. You know, the hosts of the house where you are, they need to be keeping everything flowing and going. And, you know, the leadership keeps the direction where the Spirit's going, because you'll always get somebody come up with something a bit sort of, but that's all right, because we're family. We haven't got to get all scared that the Holy Spirit's going to get upset and in a bit of a huff because somebody did something that was, not of God and of their flesh. You know, I think the Lord's calling us all to buy chocolates for ourselves. Move on. Anyway, you know what I mean. This definitely wasn't where I was going. This is nothing that I thought about this morning. Just this passage as I walked out the door, I thought, oh yeah, there's that one. If a revelation, oh, we've done that bit. For you can all prophesy in turn. So Paul, when he said two or three of you, didn't mean two or three of you and that's it. He just meant two or three of you at the same time. One brings a word, one brings a word, one brings a word. Stop, weigh the word. What is God saying to us? And then God might bring another prophetic word, another prophetic word, and another prophetic word. He's just saying, don't all go at it at once. Okay, there's a time to stand and listen and say, what's God saying to us as a group here? What's God saying to us as a church? But you see, when you're meeting in that context, most of the time, God will speak to you as that group of people. You know, and he will say, well, you might get someone will come up with a word and say, well, the church needs to be doing this. And that means the group of believers there. Because the church is us. Yes. A number of times as a pastor, you sometimes get somebody who comes to say to you, well, I think the church needs to be doing such and such. And usually all I say to them is, that's good, off you go then. As if God's spoken to them about something, it's for them to do. You see, and these are days where God is speaking to you and giving you visions and dreams and purpose, and you've not got to wait for it to become official that you've got the position that you can do it. Just do it. Just go for it. Let us know what's happening so that we don't seem completely, you know, out of control. But just do it. Just go for it. Jonah and Don. I'm always calling them that. Jonah and Don. What is it? John? No. Don and Jonah now. John and Donna. they started up a group on Saturday nights at their house with the young people. And they just went for it. Now, it's probably not a good... I don't want you all sort of think, oh, well, I'll have all the kids around my house and I won't let anybody know. There's obviously sort of, you know, legal stuff like that. But they've got something and they're going for it. They haven't waited for six committees to give them the go-ahead. They just think, this is of God, can we do this? And off they've gone. Amen? And that's what we all need to be like. Now, if there's something which the whole church has got to get in on, and it's going to be something all do together, then you can't just start it and then turn up on a Sunday morning and say, well, we've got this new outreach in York. God's given it to me. So next Saturday, we're all going to York. I mean, you can't do that. It does say in that little bit, each of you should weigh the word from God. So if you've got something about going to York, your first thing you're going to do is share it when you're meeting with people. And you say, well, what groups am I supposed to share it with? I'm not talking about sharing it with a group. Just share it with different people when you're together. Get the group idea out of your brain. All right? It's not that there's that group and that group and that group. It's just, are you meeting with people? Are you having fellowship? And some of you will come to me and say, look, we think, you might do it this way around. You say, well, we think, you know, I'd like my house or my home or my flat or my garage to be an open house. Probably not a garage, unless it's a very nice one. And you say, can I have people round? And I say, well, what did we say Sunday morning? Just do it. And when, if somebody, and you'll know it's of God because people will come. You haven't got to compete. Oh, David and Anne's group's got six people. Susan's in their group. She should be in my... No, that's group mentality. Just let the people come. And as we get the pastoral team working, and that'll help care for the people in between the groups as well, and back up those who are opening their home. You know, you might have somebody come into your home and you think, I don't know how to go forward on this. I don't know how to go further on this. And so you'll come back and say, and the pastoral team will come alongside and help you. Are you getting the picture of where we're going? It's quite loose, but it's intentionally like that. You say, oh, I can't quite see how that's going to work. No, I don't want you to see quite how it's going to work, because let's let it develop and change depending. You see, people are different. And some people that are hosting the meeting in their house, they might be very strong evangelists. And so they'll probably gather people around them, or the people that like going out and doing stuff. Not that we should never do that. We can't use that as an excuse. But they'll get, or somebody else might be very teacher orientated, and you'll gather people together that really want to get into the Word together. And these groups will be different. The similarity will be the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The similarity will be, is this in line with the vision that God has given us? What's the vision God has given us? Listen to the first 3 weeks of me being up here. It's the whole dare to dream thing. Is what God telling me, does that fit in with what God said to us? You build according to the blueprint. Okay, look on, lots of it's on the website as well. Check out the website, kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire. Check it out, it's all new if you haven't been there. A lot of it's there now. It's looking good. Andrew Sainsbury's done most of it, he's done a good job. Well, now we'll go on a little bit, because then it gets controversial. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Again, encouraged, instructed. Not just the pastor teaching, but us teaching one another. You look very worried, Phil. Maybe you're just thinking. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Now is the controversial bit. As in all the congregations of the saints, Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission. As the law says, if they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. There's a misuse of words there in most translations. What was happening in the church in Corinth was the women were a bit bored with some of the messages because the women had been, most of them were far more mature in the things of God than the men. And so what was happening in the congregations is they were getting the basic talking. The women were getting a bit bored. And so they were sitting chatting. Or sometimes they would hear something interesting and they'd call out across the room to their friends. Hey, oi! Bertha, what does he mean by that? And so there was a lot of noise going on in this congregation. And in other words, it wasn't in God's order. So it, as in all the congregations, the women should remain silent in the churches. It's talking about gossip. It's talking about not just sitting there chatting. They're not allowed to speak, but must be in submission. I mean, he's just said that all will prophesy. All will bring a word of encouragement. All, except the women. They've got to be silent. No, it's the same context. But everybody needs to be in the flow of God, not just doing their own thing. And they've got a particular issue in Corinth with the women doing their own thing. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in church. He's just talking about giving it a bit of this. Hallelujah. Did the word of God originate with you, or are you the only people it has reached? If anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores it, he himself will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. So even in this meeting that could be semi-chaotic with everybody bringing a word from God or somebody bringing a song from God, there still is order. Okay, so still whoever's hosting that meeting is still leading the meeting. They're just not in the traditional sense having a meeting. Now, in all of that, I can now get back to work my sheets of A4 paper. Believe it or not. You're still listening, aren't you? I'll tell you a little story before I go on with that bit, just, you know, to keep you all awake. A priest and a pastor are standing by the side of the road. And they got this big sign. And then on the sign it says, "The end is near. Turn yourself around now before it's too late." And they're standing there, this priest and this pastor with this sign. Car comes along the road. And as he gets near to them, he winds the window down and says, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts." And carries on round the corner. Car goes vroom, round the corner. Suddenly hear this screeching of brakes. Then silence. Then smash, smash, splash. And the pastor turns to the priest and says, "Do you think perhaps we should just put bridge out, stop now?" Well, the bridge is out. The bridge is Jesus. The bridge is the word of God. It's our access to the Father. So whether it says, turn around now, what was it? Turn around, the end is near, turn yourself around now before it's too late. Or whether it's the bridge is out, both are true spiritually. And actually it's going to be far worse than crashing down a ravine and smashing in a river. Because that's just death. There is worse. There's not knowing the Lord forever. So what I've got is some scriptures here. And when I was pastoring another church, Elohim Church, in Leicestershire. One morning, Lynn was preaching, and this is a long time ago, it's been about 1994, and Lynn brought this word, or one very similar, not the exact identical one, and it's never ever left me. And there are two words in the Bible that come up quite regularly in the New Testament, particularly I'm thinking of, and they're very relevant to one another and where we're going next. Because we can open up our houses and totally miss it. And this, I believe, is the word. So really, what I'm going to do to you this morning is read you lots of the word. And if you've got a notebook, I'll give you all the scripture references so that you can look it up yourselves again at home and just pray through these, because I think it's really, really powerful. I might speak a little bit about some of them, but mostly I'm just going to read you this now, which is why I said it was going to be different, and then I went and preached something on 1 Corinthians 14, but never mind. So here we have John 13, verse 34 onwards, the first of the one another's. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are disciples, for if you love one another. Okay? Two sentences, and Jesus has repeated this phrase, love one another, three times. Simon Peter actually completely misses it, because the next verse says, Simon Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? You know, Jesus has come to the very crunch of everything and says, you are to love one another, and by this, if you love one another, all men will know you're my disciples. And Peter says, where are you going? He's missed it completely. But so do we often, do we miss it? This is the key for moving forward. The word love in the Greek there is one of the, I'm sure all of you will have heard somebody speak on it, is the word agape. But sometimes, you know, that word is still a beautiful word. Sometimes you hear preached that agape means sort of a decision of the will so much that you could imagine that it's a cold word. But it's not really. It also means strong affection. Did you know that? It also means to delight in. It also means to take joy in. So when it says agape one another, it doesn't just mean decide that you're going to love one another. It means delighting in one another's company. It means taking joy with one another. It means affection. That's not very English. Affection. Just shake hands. That'll do. Lovely to see you today. So agape is a decision. And this love one another is that sort of continuous sense. It means as you keep on loving one another, people will see that you are my disciples. It's the primary way of making Jesus known. For opening up our homes, it's how we're doing it. John 15, verse 12. My command is this. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Who wants to bear fruit? Who wants to bear fruit that will last? Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love one another. Okay, shall we move on? Romans 12, verse 9. So far, one another's in the Bible, we've had love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another. Romans 12, 9. Love must be sincere. That word sincere then means without hypocrisy, no pretense. You see, again, you can hear it preached so much on agape that it just means making the choice, that you can make a cold choice. It's not about a cold choice. It's a choice with affection. And it goes on and explains a little bit more here. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Devoted to one another. The word love this time is, and they're using it, linked to it in the word devoted, is the filio, the brotherly love, which is love with emotion. It means tender affection. It means family kind of love. Yeah. Devoted is a very strong word, isn't it? Devoted to one another in brotherly love. In other words, as you would love one another in a family that's working properly anyway. Honour one another. Honour one another above yourselves. That's a God thing. It means respecting one another. It means it means taking the lead in a relationship in making the other person feel better. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. The word fervor there is the word used for a bubbling and boiling pot. So in your devoted love, in your love for one another, be like a bubbling and boiling pot, sort of always on the go, always effervescent, always serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, sharing with one another, or sharing with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who mourn. Rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. And when we come together, we all sing a different note at perfect pitch. No. Being of the same mind, it means. It doesn't mean we always agree, but we're of the same mind. We have the same vision. We know Jesus is the Lord. It doesn't mean there's never any disagreements in the body, but the harmony is a sense of determination to be of one mind together. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. That's Romans 12:9 onwards. Romans 13:8. We're back to it. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Romans 15:7. Accept one another. It's a nice one, isn't it? Just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. That word accept there means include in your group. Don't be like cliquey teenagers, you know, where you can't get in the group. But actually adults are just as bad. The best for cliques, in my experience, are mothers by the primary school gate. And woe betide if you're a man. You won't get in that group by the school gate. No, this is accept one another. Include people. People who you wouldn't normally be part of your group, include them. Some time ago, I don't remember when now, I remember there was a... We had the challenge, which I believe was of God, to begin inviting one another to our homes, but also there was a specific one to invite people you don't know yet around for dinner. Accept one another, including your group. Romans 15:14. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. This is this whole thing that it isn't just the pastor that brings the word and teaches, but we actually teach one another. Well, we can only teach one another if we're learning from the word. You can't go and teach somebody if you haven't spent time in the word or spent time praying. You haven't got anything to give. But the normal thing is to instruct one another. In these open homes, we'll instruct one another. Rather than one person bringing the word of God and turning it into a meeting, different people will have something from God. And when we're all listening to God, it will all come together and fit together. Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now that's not English. You know? Now down in the Lebanon, you might get away with that. I presume it is in Lebanon that a man will greet another man with a kiss.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And the women will greet the women with a kiss.
They even kiss with their noses.
Yes. I remember when I was in Italy, and it was the first man that came and gave me a full smacker on the lips. It was just a bit of a shock. You know, or you'd be in a room. We did some work with children, and suddenly the children come up and kiss you, and you sort of think, I'd be arrested in England if that happened. You know. So there's a cultural thing here, but what's it actually saying is greet one another with a holy word. The word greet means to love, to be friendly, to kiss, to envelop with affection, to hug, to include in the group, to offer hospitality. Now, if that lot's outside our culture, we've got a very soured culture. So when it says greet one another, in fact, I think in the Message Bible, they've actually put give one another a brotherly hug or something. It's very similar to that. But it's this affection for one another. Not just a cold, I lay my life down for you, brother. Don't like you very much, but I've got to lay my life down for you because the word says so. But until then, I'd rather we didn't meet. Greet one another with a holy kiss, Romans 16:16. And having read this scripture out now, you don't have to kiss me, gentlemen, okay? But you can hug me. Oh, I'm so English. You've got nice aftershave, right? First Corinthians 1:10. Moving quickly on. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another. Amen? So there may be no divisions amongst you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Well, I'm in trouble here. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. There's almost as many greet one another's as love one another's. But remember, it's not just here. Lovely you can make it, Christine. It's a warmth and an affection. And all right, I'm not going to leap over the chairs and kiss you, praise the Lord, says Christine. Right. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. See, I'm free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. We're free to serve one another. You know, it's fantastic, I always think, when at 9:30 here on a Sunday morning, there's a whole bunch of people who are here lugging stuff up the stairs. They're serving us. They could still be in bed. Having fun out there. And Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. The word of God is also realistic. It means, in a sense, it almost does mean putting up with one another. You know, there will be people that you find difficult to love. People who you don't really like the way they do things. Well, sometimes you just have to bear with it and learn to love them. And realize that when someone's getting annoying you, it doesn't really matter what they're like. What it is revealing something that's in you. And God lets them be there to let that be revealed in you. Because it needs to come out. Because God doesn't sit up in heaven thinking, oh, that's so irritating. I have to love them, though, because I'm God and I'm love. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other. Just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 5:19. Speak to one another. Although you laugh at that, I know in many churches where you can meet people who don't speak to one another because they've upset one another. It's not of God. This does go on to say, speak to one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, this whole hot potato sometimes people make of women, wives, submit to your husbands. We're all called to submit to one another. It means preferring one another. It means giving somebody space. It means listening to what they have to say. It means appreciating who they are as a person rather than dominating them with who you are as a person. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Compassion to one another, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I mean, you can see why this makes the name of Jesus known, can't you? What a beautiful list of words. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I read the whole passage there, starting in 3:12 in Colossians through to 17, because you've got a picture there of how the open house runs. That's what it's like. Here's another fairly long one. 1 Thessalonians 5:10, I'm starting in, through to 15. He died for us so that, I like this, he died for us so that whether we're awake or we are asleep, we may live together with him. Even when we're sleeping, we're with him. I just like that. Whether we're awake or we're asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another. Oh, how we need that. And build each other up. Again, this passage here is another picture of how it works as the body of Christ, especially when we're together. Just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard amongst you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. So we're not getting rid of leaders. We're not getting rid of pastors. In fact, in this very context of encouraging one another and building each other up, we've got this word to respect those who work hard amongst you. But it's not just me. It's everybody that works hard. And then it says, who are over you in the Lord. So there is a reference to leaders. And who admonish you. That means correct. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other or with one another. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Warn one another. Encourage the timid. Encourage one another to be bold. Help the weak. Help out one another. And be patient with one another. Make sure that nobody pays back right for wrong, but always try to be kind to one another and to everyone else. Fairly encompassing, that one. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily. Why? It actually explains why here. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. When you're left on your own, it's easy to get on with sin. There's a sense of accountability to one another that you get in the smaller group, where we're confessing our sins to one another. Say, "Oh, I don't think I could do that." Well, it will happen if we allow the Holy Spirit. You see, what happens is somebody says one thing about, how they did. I don't know how they looked at a woman lustfully. And there's another bloke sitting there who's just committed adultery or something like that. What's God going to do? Convict them. And we begin to be honest with one another. Rather than this face of we're all perfect. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. James 4:11. Brothers, do not slander one another. Which means don't speak against somebody. Don't speak evil of somebody. Don't say, "Oh, that Donna." Or that, yeah. 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love, that's agape, one another deeply from the heart. In other words, from the seat of all emotion and feelings, agape one another. Again, it's that word agape, that decision to love, but it's actually saying, out of that decision, love one another deeply from the seat of all emotions. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic to one another. Be compassionate to one another and humble. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I like that. Just imagine somebody getting the dinner, oh, the flipping church coming around. 1 Peter 5:5, All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:14. Greet one another with a kiss of love. I can't get away from it. Even Peter's doing it now. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, in other words, if we confess our sins to one another, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no purpose or no place in our lives. 1 John 3:11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. 1 John 3:23. Love one another as he has commanded us. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. And it goes on. We ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete. 2 John verse 5. I ask that we love one another. And in this love, that we walk in obedience to his commands, as you have heard from the beginning. His command is that you walk in love. Now, I've read lots and lots of scripture this morning, so it was a bit different. Just to finish, I'm going to read through every single one of the one another's. Not the whole lot, just the one another bits. All right? So close your eyes and just listen to the word of God and let it inspire something within us to make this church different. We're learning. We're not perfect in this lot, but we're learning. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Submit to one another. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Teach and admonish one another. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Live in peace with each other. Warn each other. Encourage the timid. Help each other. Be patient and be kind to each other. Encourage one another daily. Spur one another on. Let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. Don't slander one another. Love one another deeply from the heart. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic towards one another. Love one another as brothers. Be compassionate and humble towards one another. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Be devoted to one another. Honour one another. Share with one another. Live in harmony with one another. Love one another. Accept one another. Instruct one another. Greet one another. Agree with one another. Greet one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Serve one another in love. Bear with one another in love. Be humble towards one another. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Have fellowship with one another. Confess our sins to one another. Love 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 one another. Elka, perhaps you could just come forward and play something quietly on the keys. And as Elka's praying, we can just meditate on this word, but also we'll take up our offering for this morning, pay our tithes and our offering. So with as little disturbance as possible, so you can just think on those one another's, let's stand. And as the basket come round, you can put on your offering. If you're a visitor this morning, please don't feel compelled that you have to put something in. It's really just between you and God, whether you want to, whether you feel it's appropriate. It's really something for us as the church to be able to pay in our offerings and pay in our tithes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. And Father, we pray that you truly teach us how to love one another. And not as a cold decision, but a decision that comes with affection and a decision that comes with warmth. And Father, we acknowledge that only you can do this within us. And Father, we pray that you change our hearts, that we would be this church that you've called us to be, where you actually said, if you love one for another, others are going to notice. If you love one another, people will know you are my disciples. And Father, we take you that as your word, that as that love increases in this place, as we learn to love one another, greet one another, encourage one another, accept one another and not leave each other out, and forgive one another when we don't live up to this perfect ideal, and bear with one another when we don't quite make it. Father, we know that you'll bring others in when we live in like this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.